You know, there's two ways that you can look at Tesla. And one of the arguments that I continue to get from people that support the company and are invested in the company, I get messages, I get emails, I get responses to my podcast, people telling me, look, Elon Musk is trying to do this great thing. He's trying to create a world of electric cars, and he's trying to push forward the initiative of all electric vehicles, and he's trying to, in essence, help the automobile industry evolve. And that's fine. I don't have any issue with that. You know, as I said when Ross Gerber was on the podcast a couple weeks ago, I don't take any type of philosophical exception with that story. I think it's a nice narrative. I think if we can reduce our dependence on fossil fuels, that's a good thing. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that electric vehicles are a good thing. I don't think they're a bad thing. I don't have any beef at all with what Elon Musk's vision for the automobile industry is for the future. I don't really have any problem with that. And for the people that are constantly bitching and moaning and bickering about, you know, I'm being too negative on the company, or other short sellers are being too negative on the company, or Charlie Grant in the Wall Street Journal is being too negative at the company, or, you know, E.W. Niedermeyer is being too negative on the company, or The Economist is being too negative on the company. All these people, you know, are being too negative on the company. Everybody should lighten up off Elon Musk and Tesla because of what he's trying to do. And that's pretty much the bull case. The bull case is the argument that this guy is trying to do something that ideologically is going to benefit mankind, and so he should get a free pass on how he conducts himself and how he conducts his public company. And this latest example last night of Elon Musk coming out and tweeting that the company is going to be cash flow positive in the second quarter, or in the third quarter and fourth quarter of this year, is a perfect example. So let me just say up front, okay? I'm going to say up front that the vision for an all-electric vehicle future is fine. I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any problem with us reducing our emissions, our carbon emissions. I don't have any problem with us reducing our dependence on oil or fossil fuels. And I don't have any problem with, you know, the idea that humans are affecting the climate. All important issues and all need to be looked at and addressed. And I don't think that there's any problem with us trying to address them. I don't, you know, I don't take any exception to, like I said, to electric vehicles, to solar power, to any type of alternative energy. If it's viable and if it can be produced effectively and efficiently, and if it makes sense. Obviously, we don't want to be implementing alternative energy that is costing us more to run than it is benefiting us. That doesn't make any sense, and it's not going to get us anywhere. So I am pro alternative energy. I really am. But I'm also pro common sense. And common sense is what you have to use if you're going to look at Tesla as an investment. So there's two ways to look at the company. There's the way that, you know, Ross Gerber looks at it, or many of these other people who send me lovely little messages during the day look at it and say, can't you just jump on board with the vision, and can't you just jump on board with what Elon Musk is trying to do? Sure, I can jump on board with the vision. Everybody has an electric car. It saves us on, you know, stops our dependence on foreign oil, stops our dependence on fossil fuels, reduces emissions. It's a win-win-win, right? Everybody wins. Well, everybody doesn't win because somebody has to pay for it. And Tesla as an ideological idea is a great ideological idea. There's no doubt Elon Musk is a visionary. What do you need to be a visionary? Well, you need to be able to envision, you know, massive scale solutions to large problems. And you need to be able to communicate kind of what that vision is, right? That's how you become a visionary. That's what the name means. It's somebody that can produce vision into the future as to, you know, what will be effective and where technology is going to evolve to and where we as a society and we as a species are going to evolve. That's what makes you a visionary, right? But there's a huge difference between being able to take an idea and envision it and being able to take an idea and implement it profitably. And as an investor what are you investing in? When you invest in the equity of a company, what are you investing in? Well, you're not investing in, you know, rental space in Elon Musk's brain. You're not investing in his previous projects or his prior successes. You're not investing in, for the most part, you're not going to be investing in his future projects unless he winds up backing those into Tesla as well. So with Tesla, when you buy stock, what you're doing is you're buying equity in the company. You're buying a share of the company. That's why it's called a share of stock. And as an owner of a company, what you're looking for is you're looking for a return on your investment. Unless your investing style is you just like to take money and just light it on fire, then you're not looking for return on your investment. But 99 out of 100 people that invest are looking for a return on their investment. They're buying shares of Tesla today at 300 because they think, like my buddy Ross, that they're going to go up 10 times their value, is what Ross said. So Ross says he thinks Tesla shares are going to go up 10 times their value, he's envisioning a share price of $3,000, right? So what does that mean? It means with the company's current capital structure, if by some miracle it was able to keep its capital structure, and by capital structure, I mean the current amount of debt it has outstanding and the current amount of shares that it has outstanding in the same fully diluted share count that it has right now, meaning it doesn't issue any new shares and it just keeps things exactly the way that they are and they don't have to go to the market and they don't have to issue more equity and they don't have to take on more debt. With the capital structure the way that it is right now, for the price of Tesla to go to 3,000 or to 10x, as my friend Ross thinks that it will, the company would need to command a market cap of about $500 billion. So putting aside the fact that there's only a few companies in the world that have a market cap of $500 billion, you have Apple, you have Google, you have Facebook, I think Amazon's up there. Over that, Amazon and Apple are almost at a trillion, but they're closer to a trillion than they are to 500 billion. I don't know off the top of my head, but there's only a couple of mega caps that are at 500 billion or above. And these are the largest companies in the world that generate real serious cash and have real serious products that they know how to execute and they know how to operate. So when Ross says, I think the company's a 10X, he's talking about a $500 billion market cap, and he's talking about $3,000 per share in value. So what does that mean? That means, let's just dissect what it means when you buy stock and what you're expecting. That means somebody like Ross or somebody who's a Tesla bull is going to buy a share of stock for $300 because what they are saying is that in the future, what the company will earn per share throughout the course of time that you own the share will be greater than $300 per share. So when you hear a company says they posted earnings of $3 a share for the quarter and $12 a share for the year, assuming they have four quarters where they can make $3 per share in earnings, then that company earns $12 per share. And if you own that company, if you buy it today for $150 per share, and you own it for 20 years, you can reasonably expect, minus, you know, some discounting and some other things, you can reasonably expect to be paid back $240 in income, in net income, for a share that you paid $150 for. And so when people forecast, you know, what a company's cash flows or what a company's net income will be in the future, what they're trying to determine is if the equation of what the company is earning now per share will be able to grow in the future and whether or not the company will be able to sustain it going forward, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and whether or not the combined total of those earnings in the future per share after being discounted will equal what you're paying for the stock now. And if they will equal more than what you're paying for the stock now, that's usually a reason for people to go out and buy stock. So when you buy Tesla for $300 a share, you're buying the expectation that the company is going to earn cumulatively in sum $300 per share. Now the first step to that is, and they might do it over the course of 30 years, they might do it over the course of 10 years, they might do it over the course of zero. They may not do it at all. It might take them 50 years. But in the interim, so the very first thing that you have to do, if you're looking to make a return on your investment per share, if you own the equity, is you need a company that's profitable. Otherwise, you're not making money, you're losing money. So just as if you ran a hot dog stand and you were buying hot dogs for $2 and you were selling them for a dollar, there would be no point in running the business because you'd be losing a dollar every hot dog you sold. You would have negative gross margins, and it wouldn't be long before you couldn't pay your bills. Probably a week, you'd stay in business until you just said, ah, fuck this, it's not working. So what you need is you need to be able to turn a profit, and you need to be able to do it consistently. And it doesn't matter whether you're a private company or a public company or whether you're a small company or a large company. If you can't consistently turn a profit, then you're not going to be able to fund that company's growth. And when you can't fund a company's growth internally, what you need to do is you either need to go to the market and issue equity, or you need to issue a bond. You need to issue debt. Tesla has done both of these in the past, and my guess is they will continue to do them in the future. The negatives of issuing equity are obviously that it becomes dilutive to people who own the stock now. Meaning if Tesla goes out and doubles the amount of shares that are outstanding and it remains a $50 billion company, that your $300 share will be worth $150. So all you're doing is you're taking the company's equity, which you can divide up like a pizza pie, and you're making the slices a little bit smaller. And this entitles you to a little bit less of the profit when the company, you know, divides up their net income line at the end of the day. So why is all this stuff important? Well, it's important, and some of this is rudimentary, and a lot of you guys know this stuff already. But what I'm trying to get across on this podcast is, one, why I think it is lunacy that Elon Musk is guaranteeing cash flow positive in Q3 and Q4, and two, why this stuff is really important. And I want to make the distinction between the philosophical case, which is this company that's doing these great things. They're pushing a noble agenda. Electric cars, we're heading into the future. We're trying to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. We're trying to reduce our emissions. All good things, all good causes. But at the end of the day, that's not how you run. You cannot just run a business on ideology. You have to run a business on the financials as well. And all big, giant, successful businesses like Apple, like Microsoft, like Google, like Facebook, you know, all of these major businesses, even the other automakers, like Ford right now, General Motors, I mean, they did go bankrupt since they've come out of bankruptcy. They went bankrupt because they were losing money. They were hemorrhaging money. They were unprofitable. Most of these companies, or all of them, the ones that I named, consistently generate cash. They turn a profit. And that's the point of business. The whole point of business. Create a product or service that you can sell for more than it costs you to make, and the difference is your margin, and you get to keep whatever you make off the top, and that's business. Doesn't matter whether you're selling watches on the corner of 13th and Market Street, or whether you're running a hot dog stand, or whether you're selling cars. So the profitability issue is starting to really come to the foreground now for Tesla. People are over the fact that the narrative is fantastic and it's a great story. And people are starting to kind of ask, where's the beef now? And in addition to that, the rules for being a public company are very different than the rules for being a private company. If I run a hot dog stand, I can go out and say whatever the fuck I want. I can say hot dogs are going to be 50 cents tomorrow, and then the next day, I can show up and charge $2 for them. I'll have to deal with a bunch of angry customers, but it's my business, and I can do it however the hell I want. If I run a hot dog stand and I do not have a fiduciary responsibility to any other shareholders aside from myself, and I'm 100% owner, and I make a forecast that next year I'm going to sell $1 billion worth of hot dogs, despite the fact that I've never sold more than, you know, $10,000 worth in a year, I'm entitled to do that. I would be misleading myself, or, you know, even if you had a partner and you made this forecast and your partner, you know, believed you. You'd be misleading your other shareholder. But when you're a public company, you have to make statements that are accurate to the best of your knowledge. And you have to qualify these statements with a safe harbor statement that basically says, you know, anytime you make a forward-looking statement, in no uncertain terms, that this could be wrong. We don't have a crystal ball. We can't look into the future, but here's what we think our guidance is going to be. But also, when you're a public company, the way that you communicate your disclosures, whether it's to the public, whether it's to the media, whether it's to shareholders, have to be done in a very precise way, and they have to be done fairly, meaning that they have to be disclosed to everybody at the same time. You can't bring in one of your company's top shareholders and tell them, you know, Bill, we're going to turn an amazing profit next year, and then have them leave and not inform the rest of your shareholders. Now, this is easy when you just have one partner at a hot dog stand and you're a private company to worry about. But when you're a public company and you have to play by the Securities and Exchange Commission's rules and you have, you know, a couple million retail shareholders, this stuff is really important. You can't mislead shareholders. You cannot lie. And in the case of Tesla, they have set some very aggressive targets over the last couple of years that they have not been able to meet. And they have set, you know, they've said, Elon Musk has said before that they won't need to raise capital, and they have gone and raised capital. He has, again, set production deadlines that he has missed. We've seen, like I said in my other podcast, 50 or so executives leave the company over the last 10 years, major executives. And now he's doubling down on all of that and coming out in what I think is an extremely informal and unprofessional way to do this, and disclosing on Twitter last night at 1 in the morning in response to another tweet that the company will be cash flow positive for Q3 and Q4. That is a very, very, very bold statement to make. And not only that, but it's a very bold statement for the CEO and the chairman to make without putting it into an 8K or putting it into a press release or making an official announcement and putting it out on the company's website and releasing it professionally. If Coca-Cola wanted to make some type of huge change to their guidance next year, they would do a couple things. They would either hold an investor call or they would file an 8K, which is the form that you use with the SEC when you have, you know, a material event that occurs or a change in guidance, which would be considered a material event. But in this case, we just got a tweet at 1 o'clock in the morning Pacific time, 4 o'clock in the morning Eastern time from the CEO, who said, oh, by the way, you know, in passing, as he was writing to The Economist, who had published a critical article of the company, he said, we'll be cash flow positive Q3, Q4. That's a huge deal. The market reacted today. Did you see? The stock was up $6 or $7 today. And this is why it's important that A, these disclosures are as accurate as possible, and B, that they're communicated fairly to everybody who invests in the company. Because if you weren't up and digging through Elon Musk's Twitter account last night, you may not have noticed that he put this tweet out. And today you may just be thinking, oh, the stock's up, but you may not know why. Now, of course, it got syndicated by a bunch of other news outlets, but in theory, that's what Regulation FD is for. It's supposed to ensure that everybody gets the same amount of information at the same time when there's a material change or a material event that occurs. So here's my question. Will the SEC step in if this company is not cash flow positive in Q3 or Q4? Because this $300 level for the stock is really key. And as I said earlier, the mainstream media's attitude towards the company has kind of gone from that they're in love with it to a little bit bemused and a little bit, just the slightest bit more skeptical. And we all know Elon Musk is heralded in the mainstream media. I mean, the guy's a celebrity, so he gets a lot of leeway. But the question is, how much leeway is the mainstream media going to continue to give him if he cannot turn a profit at his company? And how much leeway will regulators give him if he continues to say one thing and do another? So when people say cash flow positive, I mean, what I think of is I think of free cash flow positive. And your free cash flow is your cash flow from operations minus your capital expenditures. That's how probably 9 out of 10 people who work on Wall Street or work in finance would probably define cash flow positive. Some of them will tell you it's just positive cash flow from operations. But Tesla had once announced that they were cash flow positive prior. They said they were core cash flow positive, I think. And it was some kind of made up metric that they had posted. They took the definition of free cash flow and they edited it to their liking so that they could post a positive number. I forget what they did, but in this case, they need to be held to the letter of the law. Now, if Q3 and Q4 rolls around and this company is not free cash flow positive, then they need to have their feet held to the fire, because sentiment was changing with this company over the last couple of weeks. And the stock was trading below a key technical level, which was 300. There's always big support and big resistance at huge round numbers usually. And this morning, after that tweet came out, all of a sudden the stock was back up over 300. And it finished the day over 300. So one more day where the stock holds 300. And these technical levels can sometimes be sentiment shifting in their own. But the question now is, with the company seeing these big production delays that they've had, and Elon Musk being in, quote, production hell, according to him, and then him disclosing to CBS just days ago that the Model 3 production was worse than he thought, and with Wall Street growing a little bit restless about the story to the tune of the stock is starting to come down a little bit, it's off its highs, for the CEO to just come out and promise this is a very bold statement at a very crucial time. And that needs to be looked at very carefully. Now, Probes Reporter, which is a great follow on Twitter, at Probes Reporter, P-R-O-B-E-S, Reporter, Probes Reporter is an expert in FOIA requests, and they have a lot of experience with sending FOIA requests to the SEC and using those FOIA requests to determine whether or not the SEC has an investigation into a company. And Probes Reporter says that they believe that the SEC does have an investigation open into Tesla right now. It is a undisclosed investigation by the company, and I think also by the SEC. But Probes Reporter has reported that there is an ongoing investigation by the SEC. Now, if that's true, the SEC should be paying very careful attention to what Elon Musk is doing here. Now, there's a litany of other production targets and other financial targets that he has kind of pulled out of his ass that the company has missed. But this one should be of the most important, because it's coming arguably at the most critical time for the company. And what people who are investing in the equity today, if there's people out there buying the stock today, buying the equity of the company today under the assumption that they're going to be cash flow positive Q3 and Q4, and then the company does not meet those goals, is that a case of the CEO defrauding the public or defrauding the shareholders? It's not for me to decide, but I certainly think it's very questionable behavior that needs to be looked at very, very closely. So in addition to that, while all of this is going on, there's an article published at the end of the day today. Well, there were two additional articles on Tesla that I read later on in the day today. There was one from CNBC that said that the company had been receiving an inordinate amount of defective parts, and that these parts then needed to be sent back out to other fabricators to be corrected. And that's one of the things that was slowing up the company's production. And the article says that they're receiving these subpar parts because they weren't doing a good enough job of vetting the suppliers that they were using to provide these parts. So again, now we have, you know, a visionary with this great vision, but at the end of the day, you're running a car company. So you have to know how the auto industry works. Elon Musk didn't have any auto industry experience going into this, and you know, his Straubel, or whatever the guy's name is, his CTO, to the best of my knowledge, didn't have any serious auto industry experience going into Tesla either. And so while this stuff is kind of blocking and tackling for General Motors or for Ford or for anybody that's been in the industry for a while, these types of things, like vetting your suppliers, become really important. And in this case, not only has it been reported to have cost Tesla a lot of time and some money, but it could ultimately be one of the reasons that's leading them to have delays with the Model 3. And furthermore, if you're going to be buying a Tesla, or you're thinking about buying a Tesla, what are you thinking when you see an article that basically says that the company is using subpar suppliers and that they're not really checking to make sure that these suppliers are doing their job to begin with, or that they're making a quality product, rather? Not good press. In addition to that, you have this Elon Musk starting a fight with the NTSB this week over the Model X investigation. And if you haven't read about that, I'm not going to go on and on and on at length about that, but the NTSB opened an investigation into a fatality that occurred as a result of a Model X crashing that had been utilizing autopilot. And essentially what happened is the Model X veered into a barrier. Tesla came out and placed the blame for this on the guy who was driving the car and said he should have been paying more attention. And the NTSB came out and said that they were going to investigate. And at some point, Tesla was part of the investigation with the NTSB, and then they were not. And Tesla released a statement, this is probably 3 days ago, that said that they had withdrawn from the NTSB investigation of the Model X. And then the NTSB found this to be inaccurate, so much so that they actually produced a letter to, as they said, memorialize what had really happened. And they put out a public letter saying, no. You didn't withdraw from the NTSB investigation. We told you you can get off the NTSB investigation, or we kicked you off, rather. So the message that the public got from the company, hey, we withdrew, is very different from, oh, hey, the NTSB doesn't want us on the investigation anymore. Now, whether or not this is going to be a huge deal in the future remains to be seen. If it's something where ultimately the NTSB goes after the company, then this might be actually very impactful, because if people bought stock on Tesla saying we withdrew voluntarily and they didn't, then those people might be able to claim that they were lied to or defrauded. If nothing comes of this NTSB investigation, then it probably won't be a big deal. It'll probably just go away. Finally, another article that I read was talking about the company's certified pre-owned program. And apparently, as part of Tesla's pre-owned vehicle program, what they would do was they would take a car that was coming off of a lease and they would clean it cosmetically and they would make sure that internally it was operating right. And then they would, you know, turn around and sell this car as a certified pre-owned vehicle. They have a checklist that they go through, just like when you go out and you buy a certified pre-owned car at a BMW dealership. They bring the car in. Usually they're cars that had been leased. They do a 72-point inspection or whatever the hell they call it at their specific dealership. They clean the car up nice. They get it looking as close to new as possible, even though it's got, you know, 40,000 miles on it or whatever. And then they sell it to you with a limited warranty versus the warranty you would get from buying a new car. So Tesla has a similar thing that's going on here, where a bunch of cars that came off of their lease that were leased originally in the year 2015 are seeing their leases run out now. And as this is happening and these cars are being returned to Tesla for Tesla to turn around and sell as certified pre-owned vehicles, Electric was the source that reported this. They reported that Tesla was, while they were looking at the internal components of the car, still they were no longer making cosmetic refurbishments to the vehicle before they turned around and resold it as a pre-owned vehicle. And there was a complaint on the Tesla Motor Club message board a couple days ago of somebody that basically bought a certified pre-owned vehicle, and it was filthy. They put a bunch of pictures online, you know, and inside the vehicle it was gross. I mean, it looked owned and it looked used, but it looked like they didn't really care for the car at all after they got it back from the person that leased it. There was a noticeable chip in the hood of the car, and the inside fabric around the inside of the car was dirty and disgusting, and it just doesn't look like something that you would want to pay up for. And in addition to that, they're turning around and selling these pre-owned vehicles at very close to full price, which is ridiculous. So the demand for these, I'm guessing, will start to fall off. But this just falls in line with the story of the flawed parts that the company is getting. And it falls in line with the fact that, you know, it does. The company doesn't appear to understand how public disclosure works and what their obligation is to the truth when you're disclosing things as a public company. And so you have a company here that's a technology company, quote unquote, but they don't really seem to have any of the basics of the auto industry down. And look, the auto industry has very razor-thin margins to begin with. You know, auto companies do not get great multiples, meaning people don't pay a multiple of what the company is earning on an annual basis. They don't pay an exorbitant multiple like they do for quickly growing tech stocks, because it is a very basic block and tackling, you know, low margin business. So in order for Tesla to turn a profit, they're going to have to do everything perfectly. They're going to have to do everything perfectly. And what I'm saying, and what a lot of other short sellers are saying, is not that the ideology is wrong. Not that there's anything wrong with the idea of electric vehicles, but the idea of buying the stock as an investment does not make sense. And that Tesla may not be upholding its obligation when it comes to disclosures, when it comes to, you know, giving everything accurately to shareholders in the best way possible and disseminating things so that everybody can get them at the same time. These are a lot of things that are worrying people for Tesla as an investment. If you gave me a Tesla tomorrow, would I drive it? Yeah, of course I would drive it. Of course. Look, they're nice looking cars. I'm sure they drive well. I know the Model S was fast. I have a guy that is a friend of mine who drag races cars up in West New York. I've seen him drag race Teslas. He's told me he's driven against a Model S. He said it's an extremely fast car. It's a hell of a lot of fun to drive. But there's a total difference. You know, I would drive a DeLorean also if you gave me one. And that company was just mismanaged and just went out of business. And Tesla is going to do the same if they can't consistently turn a profit. So don't get mad at me for the ideology side of things, when the case that I'm advocating is that as an investment, the company is not a good investment. I think the stock is likely to go lower than it is to go higher. Because right now, you're paying a $50 billion valuation for a company that is not generating any cash and is not turning a profit. And on top of that, not only do you have a CEO that says they will be cash flow positive in Q3 and Q4, but that they're not going to need to raise capital this year. All things he has said before and things that he has proved himself wrong on, and I think it's going to happen again. I could be wrong, but I think it's going to happen again. And if they do a capital raise this year, and if the company is not cash flow positive Q3 and Q4, and it's not generating free cash, because you got to remember, capital expenditure is going to be going through the roof with the Model Y, with the semi-truck. If they're not free cash flow positive, cash from operations minus these capital expenditures, and they have to do a capital raise, regulators should step in immediately and do something, because this is twice now where the stock has been at crucial technical breaking points and promises have been made really without any rhyme or reason. They're just throw it out on Twitter, and all of a sudden it's picked up by 50 million news agencies, and then it's a headline. And you go from a stock that breached a key technical level yesterday and was below 300, was set to open at 295 today in a market that was down 100, so may have even come down and tested 290 today. But instead, you get a stock that's gapped up to 302 at the open today and holds the 300 level. Now, I'm not saying his intention was to protect the stock for one day, but what I'm saying is, if the prognostication of we're going to be cash flow positive and we don't need to raise capital, if those turn out not to be true, then regulators have an obligation to look into the company. With that being said, it is Friday, so I am getting out of here. This was a quickie. Hope it was good for you guys. And there's really only one more thing left to say, and that is that I sincerely hope you guys have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.